I wished I knew why everything seemed to shut down as soon as things got tense. It's not like I wanted to feel trapped or anxious. If I could have pinpointed when it started, well, that might have helped, but I wasn't even sure of that. The Greek goldfish cracker disaster of 09? A first-grade garbage man fiasco? Something broken from birth? I suppose it didn't matter. What did was how I felt any time it happened. It was as if my brain ripped in half. Sometimes I could actually hear it, like a piece of paper slowly being torn in two. One part of my brain kept talking, telling my voice to speak, my arms to move, my lungs to breathe. The other half just said, nope.
Say something funny.
Nope.
Say something kind.
Nope.
Say something.
Nope. The longer it went, the angrier the first half of my brain got, until it shut down too. And the whole thing was, well, frozen. It happened any time I had to talk to people I didn't know, or when I was in front of crowds, or if I had to explain myself to an adult. There were so many things that made me freeze that I couldn't count them. Sometimes even worrying about freezing would make me freeze. And that worry? It was starting up now. Devin poked me in the shoulder.
You do your job, and we won't get caught. Besides, even if we do, think of it as an opportunity to practice. Your parents are always saying you need more... what is it?
I shuddered. Exposure?
Right! Exposure to stuff so you can get over it. Getting caught isn't so bad.
We'd have to agree to disagree on that one. A fresh bead of sweat had already trickled down my back, and it had nothing to do with the basketball game.
And anyway, Devin continued, we can vouch for each other. As long as we get our story straight, we'll be fine.
Remember how I talked us out of taking the blame for Gage's last prank? When he switched the signs for the supply closet and the faculty bathroom? I almost smiled. But then Devin slipped his phone out of his pocket. He unlocked it, tapped his camera app, and started poking me in the chest with it.
You're not supposed to have that at school, I whispered.
I'm not taking it.
Yes, you are.
And you're not doing the backflip of doom.
Yes, I am. Why?
Devin swallowed, looking nervously at the edge of the climber. I couldn't be sure what he said next, but I think it was something like, to save my dad. I was about to ask what that meant, but then I looked too. The climber had two sets of monkey bars. One was for the little kids. It ran right alongside the higher set. I thought, like maybe 40 years ago, they were painted in bright colors. But now all that was left were little patches of red and yellow, where kids' hands and feet couldn't reach so easily. The biggest of those patches sat on the side rail of the higher set of monkey bars. It looked like North America if you tried to wrap our continent around a Pepsi can. That patch was infamous at Bennett C. Riley, because that's where you sat if you were going for it. It was 1979, or so the story went. Maddie Prufrock, 7th grade legend, was a gymnast. Eventually got a college scholarship for it and went to UCLA or something. Anyway, Maddie climbed up there and sat in that exact spot. After licking the tip of her finger to test the wind, she closed her eyes, tucked her legs up to her chest, put her arms in the air, and fell backward. Without being able to see where she was going, she flipped upside down, dropped a few feet, and managed to grab on to two of the rungs of the lower monkey bars, like she was doing a handstand on solid ground. She held that pose for a second, just because she could. Both legs together and pointed skyward, like the barrels of a shotgun raised in salute. Then she calmly completed the flip, bringing her legs over and down to shoot through the bars beneath her.
Bang!
Just like that. And she stuck the landing. the double-barreled monkey bar backflip of doom was born. I had never even daydreamed about trying it. I was only 12, but nearly 6 feet tall, and most of that was goofy arms and legs. Good for grabbing rebounds above the other kids, terrible at fitting into tiny spaces. I looked back at Devin. At least he had a shot, what with how small he was. Of course, being smaller also meant he had that much farther to fall. Take your phone, Devin. If you're gonna be stupid enough to try this, I have to be there to catch you. He pushed the phone back at me.
No way! It won't count if you catch me.
I'm pretty sure that's where the of doom comes in. If there's a big kid there to spot you, it isn't nearly as doomful. It might not even be pitiful or fretful. Nobody talks about the double-barreled monkey bar backflip of fretting. That's because it doesn't exist. Devin snapped his fingers and pointed at me.
Exactly.
And what if I just grab you and hold you down until the bell rings?
Then I punch you in the face.
I wished I could say that was the end of the story. That I grabbed him, he walloped me good, and it was over with. That would have been so much easier than what actually happened. But how was I to know? No. I took the phone again, like a good friend, like a moron, and hit record. You're gonna tell me why you're doing this afterward, right? I asked as I focused in on the monkey bars.
Totally, bro.
Probably from your hospital bed. Devin shivered once, kissed the cross around his neck for good luck, and started the climb.